There's a very good tachbul. I think most mechanchim always looking to see how can we motivate talmidim to want to learn more. It's a very good question. How do you motivate people to learn? So I think that's the number one question. How do you motivate people to learn? So. And then you have a better question before you ask how to motivate people to learn, how we motivate ourselves to learn. Because the first people we have to be mashpi on are ourselves. So this is not any great mussar, and they're just a good ha'ara. So the average person, this I heard this from Rabbi Grumblat. Rabbi Grumblat told me that every year when he learned with his Chavrusa, he always tried to finish the Masechta. You know, Gittin, Ksuvis, Kedushin, Nedarim, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. When he came to Baba Basra, so he looked at, wow, 100 or whatever, 80 something blot, he couldn't. His Chavrusa, they said, they're not going to try and finish, they're not even attempting to finish the Masechta. So that year, you know, he learned shtark as always, but when he counted up the blot, he had learned at least 20 blot less than the least amount he ever learned.
How did he finish Kedushin? Finished Kedushin, that's what I heard. That's something happened that year.
It's not relevant. I could have not said Rav Grumblat, and then you couldn't just plug it up. But you know, this story I heard from him, so maybe I'm missing a detail. But so he learned 20 blot less. The point is still good. that he learned 20 blot less than the least he ever learned. So sometimes when we don't have goals, so we don't accomplish as much. So it's very important to have goals for ourselves. You make a goal, then you can try and stick to it. So if you just say, okay, I'm going to learn shtark every day, it doesn't count as much if, you know, if the yeshiva tries to make a quota. I don't know how makbid we are over here in Miami, younger guys, you know, but I mean, in Queens, your mamash, they wouldn't give you smich if you didn't finish your quota. We had to finish, say, your first year blot year, I had to do 60 blot. When you blot your 60 blot, when you went to the base medrash, means you finished the shiurim, you had to do 80 blot. And in order to get into kolel, you had to have 3.5 years of 60 blot, and my day, they changed it since then, and 2 years of 80 blot. So you had to have done, what does it come out to? You had to come out to, 60 is 180. 30 is 210 and 160. So you have 310, 370 blot. And you had to learn more when you're in kolo, but that there was no quota when you're in kolo. And so in order to get into the... Now, if you did 200 one year and 10 the other year, you don't get any credit. You only get 1 year's credit. You had to do at least that amount of blot for each year. So broken up properly, you had to do 370 blot. And that took 5.5 years. Now there's 6.5 year system to get into coal. Okay, fine. That the point I want to make is that then came Yeridaya. I'm saying my own story. Then came Yeridaya. So in Yeridaya, so we people started off learning in the Gemara, the Chulin. A lot of the Gemaras are in Chulin. So Yeridaya. So I don't know, probably did about, I don't know, 10, 15 blot in Chulin. Then you have Yeridaya Choshen Mishpat, you have yourself tremendous. Look how big this is. This is Yeridaya Chalagalef. So I don't know, you probably had your own Tumkula and Yeridaya Choshen Mishpat. I don't know, Mendy, how many blah? We have to count. Let's see, we can count right now. Till Reish is 200 and 56, right? 256. There's 256 blood here, for another 20 blood.
Where'd you start from?
Phase, hour?
60, yeah.
All right, so 260, and you figure Chosh Mishpat's around another 30, 40, 300, and Chul another 20, so 320. So in about what you did in 5.5 years, we did in 1 year. And then you talk about Chazara. So and in order to learn Yeridaya, you have to, it was a 1 day test. It's not like every section they give you a test on it. It was 1 day. If you finished everything, they gave you one test, oral, one-on-one, with the Bochen, Rabbi Friend, Zichron Lebracha, old man who did this like 5,000 times. And I wrote over, I remember writing over, I was afraid I wouldn't remember it, had a chazer. So I remember I wrote over every single Mechaber, Ramah, he passed it around, you take a look. And I wrote over every single Mechaber, Ramah, Shach and Taz, when it was Machokas, he passed it around. And I did that within that year also, until the last day before my Bechina, which I took during the summer. I was in camp, working in camp, every spare minute when the head counselor wasn't looking. I was like an assistant head counselor. I was learning. The day before the Bechina, I chazed all of Yeridaya and Choshen Mishpat on one Shabbos afternoon. That's 300 and whatever, 50 blot.
How do you do that?
That's how many times I reviewed it and reviewed it and reviewed it and reviewed it. And because there was so much pressure, I had just taken the position in June in Miami, and I was taking the Bechina like a month afterwards, a week before I moved. And you know, I told myself that, okay, it's no big deal. If I don't pass the Bechina, they'll just announce me as Mr. Mordechai Palgon has arrived in Miami, be the new manal of the yeshiva. The pressure was tremendous. And sometimes when you put the pressure on yourself, like let's say someone says, oh, there's a, and they need someone to say a Dvar Torah, a Dvar Loch at the meal this Friday night. Can you say it? So I don't know, I'll see you Friday afternoon. If I have something, then I'll say it. So if you answer it like that, then the likelihood is you're probably not going to find anything because they'll get somebody else because they don't want to rely on you, which is really what you're hoping for. It's your nice way of saying no. But I see that sometimes you're just better off saying yes. You say yes, and you'll figure it out. You have to do it. And I had a lot. Rabbi Grunblatt was a very big mashpia on me over the years. I got close with him, really, my later years. In not when I was 18 years old, but when I was like 23. So he was moving to Miami to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And he wanted to bring along some base manager. There was no base manager here. So he was recruiting to get six older guys, six branchers to come. So you've heard the story. I came with five others, including Rabbi Shachman, Shalom Abracha. And Rabbi Grimlat was going to, one of his perks for us, he was going to help us say our own Torah Chaburahs. Now a Torah Chaburah, you know already, you have to prepare your own sugya. You learn the Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos Chavrusa, but then you go off and you learn a Masha and some of the other Rishonim, and you try and come up with your own Chiddush in the Sugya. You've been to Pilpa Shirim, come up with your own Chiddush. So that's very difficult to make sure you're basing it on the right questions, and then you have to say a Chiddush, and you have to prove it, and you have to be able to defend it amongst all your peers and some of your Rebbeim who come also everyone trying to slug you up. Like you've been to a Musa Shmuz, picture a shear where everyone's trying to slug it up from all different angles. So you have to be well prepared. So how are you supposed to prepare that? So you need to have a little shemush. So Rabbi Grumblat was, he wasn't called Rabbi Grumblat in yeshiva. We called him by his first name. Amazingly, at the time we called him by his first name, and he was going.
This wasn't English name.
Whatever, we came to Miami, and after the Elul, I said, we didn't say any, we weren't on any chaburahs during Elul. He says, yeah, after Sukkot, we'll work on it. So came back after Sukkot, and like a week to after Sukkot, I said, are we working on the chaburahs? He says, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on arranging it. So one day, like a week or two later, he still didn't do anything. I said, Ragumat, he goes, yeah, I'm getting to it. The next day, Ragumat comes into the basement with a piece of paper, and he hangs it up on the basement wall, and I see. It says, Emiachnis, November 7th. T. Sharfman, November 14th. S. Zenworth, November 21st. M. Palgon, November 28th. Y. Wiener, December 6th. And then so on and forth. And S. Muscat, whatever, you know, December 14th. So what is that? He says, oh, that's the list of the Torah Chabur, the dates that everyone's saying their Torah Chabur is. I said, Ragula, you know, I don't think that's fair. You said you're going to prepare us. You said you were working on preparing us for it. Now you're just putting up the sign? So Ragula starts laughing. He goes, no, that's the preparation. You put your name up on the wall, and you write down the time and the date that you're going to say your Torah Chabur. And that's the preparation. He says, that's what you were working on since Sukkot? He goes, yeah, that's what I was working on since Sukkot. I just didn't get a chance to finish the calendar. But I wanted to make sure he was around and the person would be around. There's no simchas, no holidays, whatever. You had to pick the dates. That was it. So you want to, that's the whole point. Put yourself in position where you have to prepare. Someone says, oh, can you learn with a 12th grader? Can you learn with an 11th grader? Can you help learn with someone? A Bala Bus is coming to learn. Okay, you'll have to prepare. What are you worried about? You're worried that, oh, now you're going to have to really prepare? And if you don't know, you'll have to ask someone to help you to figure it out? Yeah, so you'll have to do that. And when you do that, you sort of force yourself. So here I had a pressure, a very big pressure. Now, other people had done it, learned Yeridei and Chodesh Mishpat before me. I wasn't the first person. And I looked around, and I found a few stupider people than I thought. I got smichas. I figured if they could do it, I could do it. That's what I thought. When I finished learning Yeridei, so you learn it with your chavrusa, you go through everything, and then comes chazara. So the minhag is, I don't know if it's still true, but when I got smicha, you know, 1994, this is how we did it. And after you learn it the first time with your chavrusa, then you went to chazar, and you went off on your own to chazar privately. And so I took my year. I was all excited. I just thought I'm going to chazer in Rabbi Teitelbaum Shul in Kew Gardens. So I went to Rabbi Teitelbaum Shul in Kew Gardens. I took out my Yeridei and I said, now I'm going to chazer. You know, hopefully I'll, you know, remember it, see how I can memorize it. I open it up to read the first sip to try and commit to memory, and I forgot what the words meant. Then I did the second word one, and I said, I forgot the words meant there also. I didn't know pshat. How do you read this? How do you read that? I said, oh my gosh, I think I'm gonna be the first person not to be able to get smicha. I don't remember this. How to learn again, how to ask someone what it was. I have to learn it over again. It had just taken me like 9 months, 8 months to learn it. I thought the chazer was supposed to go faster. I had 3 months to finish. How am I gonna start all over again? I got really nervous. I started putting in like 18-hour days. I left in the morning with breakfast, lunch, and supper in a bag. Of course, I went a block away from my apartment in Kew Gardens, and I went into the shtiebel, you know, into the Beis Medrash, and I came back 12 o'clock at night. You know, like, my wife didn't see me. I had two kids, I think, one kid, one and a half kids, and whatever. It was scary. Then I went through. I got through that second time. I had to really sweat because I was getting nervous. The second time it went faster than I thought, but you know, it did go faster than the first time. But I thought it'd be a whiz. Then the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time. By the time I did it the day before the Bechina, I hazarded it all. I was very proud of myself because I mamish. It's not like I just queen the page. I went through every mechaber, ramah, shach, and taz. Yeah, Shabbos day from after the Suda.
No curse in Sefer.
No, in the Sefer. In the Sefer.
Is that humanly physically?
I did it. You can take a look at my Yeridei. I had in addition to my cards, I'd written down every single machlokus on the bottom of my Yeridei.
Yeah,
everything.
Thing.
Huh? Thing. You know, I kind of had a whole system in coloring.
But in a day?
Rabbi wasn't with the Haruta the whole time?
No, I was by myself.
So I thought I was sitting
Well, the first time I went through it, but I did it with Through the I whole did it with a charusa. The writing was myself. All the writing was myself.
Everything didn't like burn out after the first day, especially doing everything in a day.
And, you know, this was, you know, getting it. I don't remember. So it's halichlo, nitla tichlo kshirat. And I mamish don't remember all these halachas.
Which ever charusa?
I don't even remember. Because most of the time was without a charusa. Who did I learn with? Reuven Sullivan or Shmuel Yisrael Siegel? I don't know. I don't remember. I put in so much time. But I think the point I want to say is that when you make a goal for yourself, you accomplish not a little bit more, not 20 blot more. I started with Chiddush Ragum Blat. So you learn 20 blot. You can learn 20 blot more if you have a goal. And I'm telling you for myself, I learned not one time as much because I most of the time finished my quota, but maybe I couldn't even finish. So I probably did, I don't know, 20 times more, not 20 blot more, 20 times more than I ever did in my life in that year and a half. Now, what did Rabbi Ben say on Shabbos? I was sitting there thinking that's what inspired me when I was in yeshiva on Shabbos, listening to Rabbi Ben Shmuz, that they're going to come to you, Achmei Be'eshrim, and they're going to say, this is what you could have been. They better have a picture of me of doing that every year, you know, to do 350 blot a year. But it's amazing. You could do 300, maybe you could do 350 blot a year. You could do it. They say maises are a Moshe that people told, one maisa had that someone came and told Rebbetzin Feinstein, oh, Rebbetzin, if I would have your husband's brain, I would be whatever, so smart. So you don't need my husband's brain. His brain is not so big. It's his drive. He works very hard at it. And, you know, there are plenty of mice that said that. Moshe worked very, very hard. That's what made Moshe to who he is. We like to think you come across very smart when you have clarity. You know, clarity breeds people thinking you're smart. But a person could work, they could work, and he can get something clear. And he has a goal for himself. He just needs to, for his own personal goal. Let's make a goal. What do you think is realistic? If you're not sure yourself, speak it over with Rebbeim, speak it over with, you know, Chaver, and what do you think for me is reasonable? And make goals. When I was in Kollel, I remember I wanted to know Chumash and Rashi. It didn't work because I didn't stick with it, but for a while I stuck with it. I said, listen, everyone getting depressed because they don't know Chumash and Rashi. They want to know Chumash and Rashi. I don't want to be one of those people that don't know Chumash and Rashi. But every week you say, okay, this week's parasha, I'm going to do the whole Chumash and Rashi. And you end up, you don't know the whole, you don't get a chance for the whole parasha. So I made up with a friend privately. We're going to make it a 7-year. We planned that. We both planned on being a shiva another 7 years. We were still single. And we weren't even married yet. And Cole was 6 years. So we figured we'd have at least 7 years. Because we didn't start going out yet. So we figured the 7 years. So we'll make a 7-year cycle. First year we'll do Rishon Tashani, Chumash and Rashi, never more than 20 Pesukim. And then the second year we'll do Sheni to Shlishi. And the third year Shlishi to Revi. Fourth year Revi to Chmishi. So on and forth. And we'll, by the end. And we'll test each other. And we'll give each other questions. And we'll force ourselves to know the whole Chmishi Chumash and Torah. You know, Chumash and Rashi. It was a genius thing. You only have to do 20. We're not going to do Shtaymikah. We said both we're not doing Shtaymikah Rechatagim. We're just doing Rishon Tashani. In 7 years, we'll do Shtaymikah Rechatagim. That's what I decided on.
Was there that goal?
No, there's a mitzvah to do Shtaymikah Rechatagim. But I wasn't. I was often not completing. Because I wanted to do Shtaymikah Rechatagim with Rashi. And I wanted to talk to Rashi. So I attempted every week to do it with Rashi. But I often didn't finish.
So what do we do? Just stop, just do the whole Rashi, the whole year.
What?
No Shemekah.
So I said, I wasn't doing it anyway.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'm going to lechatkila, not even plan to do it. I'm going to just do Tilsheni. First year Tilsheni, second year Tilshlishi, Sheni to Shlishi, third year Shlishi. Well, you do like...
You didn't have Chorotah? Like, just doing...
At the time? Well...
I'm not doing Shemekah, like...
I didn't have Chavrutah because I was attempting to do it every year and I wasn't doing any of it. So now at least I'll stick to a goal. And it was amazing for the first 2 months. It was awesome. First of all, I had no guilt. I really did. We tested each other and I knew it cold. But then I don't know, we fell out of it, right? And I resumed doing Steinbeck with Dach, and I didn't do Rashi the Targum. Because I wanted to do Steinbeck and Vechatagum, so I do the Mishnah and Vechatagum, and Chumash and Rashi. But a person can make a goal for anything. I remember Rabbi Sharfman, my roommate, he had a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch next to in Piskei Mishnah Berurah that had just come out. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Piskei Mishnah Berurah. He was always, you know, reading through Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Piskei Mishnah Berurah. He became a Baki in Halacha, Rabbi Sharfman. You know, everybody. And I didn't even realize. I asked him all my. I knew he was learning it, so I always asked him my shaylas. I called him all the time, Rabbi Sharfman. But the easy shaylas, I always thought they were easy. The easy shaylas I didn't know. You know, I called him every year with the same shayla, with Hadlakas Neris, and if you go for near Hanukkah, if you're going out, people are coming to you, you're eating there, you're sleeping here, you know, you're going to yeshiva, and he asked him the same shaylas every time. He answered me every time. He had clarity in it. But he had clarity from keeping the kitzur on his night table. You know? He was very bright, but he also put in the work, and you could do that. So a person makes a goal for it. You can pick any goal you want. It doesn't make a difference almost. You know, some people get into halacha, some get into chumash and rashi, you can master certain things in the mesechta, you know, because they're into Ian, some people are more into Bekiyas. There are things that grab you more, find out what it is. Figure out what it is. Make a goal for it. You can try make goals for everything, but make goals for something.
I don't know if we should do something. How do we do like that learning for becoming in Spira? Just like count. In one word, the best word to use would be count. You're there. How's that work? Like,
here's how it works.
I'm pounding for Spira.
You get married.
I'm married.
You get married, and you cannot. You don't have enough money to support your family, and you take a job, and you're leaving. So this is the last chance in your life that you have a chance to finish. So now you better finish. So that's how you pound. You have a hechrich. It's not just, you know, you force yourself. I was saying like, yeah, make a goal, but sometimes if you force yourself, the best way to make a goal is like Rabbi Gumla did. He put your name up in lights. Now you're stuck. Now you have to do it, okay?
Rebbe, is that with taking the job before Rebbe?
You take the job, you force yourself to do it. You know? That's why when Rabbi Blinder got Tzvicha last year, that was a big Kiddush, because many, many, many people leave yeshiva before they get... As he left before even finishing learning it the first time. And many people do that because he got a position, he didn't want to turn it down. And he feels he'll teach half a day, he'll learn you half a day, but many people do that and it's too much because you want to do a good job. And, you know, people say, okay, I got the job already, you're getting smicha so you can get a job, but you got the job already, so forget the smicha. And he still was able to continue doing that. And I probably couldn't have done that. What he did, I probably couldn't have done. I was putting in crazy hours. But it wasn't like my goal was to put in 20 hours. My goal is I had to get smicha. I was in yeshiva 15 years.
So in order to do that, I need to...
So for the Rashiva used to say... The Rashiva used to say, you know, well, I could have not waited to the last year of my kol. I could have done that. I could have... I knew I was going to be forced to finish... And I left myself a Pesach till June, and a year plus two months. I had a job in camp, so I knew. The Rashiva used to say, you know, you could in the yeshiva system learn here or there when you get into kol. You don't have to wait to the end of kol. Why did I wait 5 years? I was in kol for almost 7 years. Why did I wait till year six and a half to start learning here or there? I could have done it in year one. And then taking all the time I wanted. It could take 3 years to learn Yerodea. I didn't do that. Rosh Hashiva said, if he didn't advise people to do that, because if you do that, then you have smicha ready, then your in-law stop pushing you to get a job, you have smicha ready, you have this amazing position is there, who said they'll find another position like that. So I agreed. I thought it was a good, I was for sure, you know, not going to leave before getting Yerodea. So I learned, I'm learning, the first 5 years I wasn't going to think about it. And Then okay, then I was ready to learn Yoredeya. I became the Rosh Yeshiva secretary for a year, so, and then I taught in the high school, Bekiyas, 12th grade and 10th grade. You know, so I couldn't learn Yoredeya then. I wanted to be the Rosh Yeshiva's secretary, so I couldn't learn Yoredeya then. I know, like,
the only thing is not get smicha, because a lot of people are rabbis and not smicha.
Yeah. It depends. If you're part of a program, if you're in yeshiva, if you have the schus to be in yeshiva that long.
Yeah. But if you're not doing that class in Mahalif,
I would tell you to. I would think it's a good thing, because first of all, what is smicha?
Yeah.
In the old days, smicha was
real.
You know, it was real. The smicha, I don't know why smicha is your day in Chosh Mishra. I'm not giving passing halachas.
Would that be ever passing a chicken?
I would call up Rabbi Sharfman. I don't know. I would call someone the rabbi. I'm not holding in the halachas.
What's the difference between this and a PhD? You're spending so much time just
this is get much it. More. This is much more.
The Havdil, obviously, but
yeah,
it's just
why there's so many halachim to Torah? Why is the smicha? Why are you able to be called rabbi because you learn Hilchos Treifos?
Yeah, and just to pound it in a year, just to like
so. No, so that's the Masorah. That's when you're dying, and that's the Masorah. But you know. They added on other things now. They added on some Hilchos Nida, which is probably a good thing. I did learn Nida and also, but it wasn't part of the Bechina. So yeah, I would think it is Kedai. A person's learning for a few years, you know, learn your day also. Why not? One of the Chalak Mashal and take a Bechina on it. Why not? The Rishiva you would wanted to give Bechinas for Bekiyas. Isn't it awesome? Very, very weak. Every other week there would be a Bechina. Everybody would have to know it. Huh?
So why are we against it?
The Reshiva was against it because Dr. Feinberg, Sopran Racha, told the Reshiva, Sopran Racha, that the guys are stressed out. And the Reshiva was very against stress. Stress.
Isn't that what goals can make stress?
Goals could make stress. You have to be careful not to. But some stress is good and some stress is bad. Test stress is not self-induced. That's what I want to speak about also. So I know some people would tell me that, you know, put too much stress on yourself is no good. Person's too stressed out, it's no good. I was talking to another school today and they were announcing to their sixth graders that they're having a Gemara midterm in January. So I said,
Midterm sixth grade?
Yeah. Gemara midterm and Navi midterm. We used to have midterms in the high school also. I think they stopped midterms except for Gemara, right? I think there's only Gemara and math. For the finals, they have all the subjects, but we did away. We used to have midterms and everything. So, but I was, you know, already thinking about the Chinuch Vat. I thank David Holtzman because if he wouldn't have texted me, I wouldn't have reminded him to put up the sign. But so what's the difference between the Gemara midterm and your day? I want to speak about this topic tonight. So because I thought of it on Shabbos. So I want to say over this halacha, this I learned by Hilchos Treifos. Okay, so the you know this halacha, but the Mechaber says in Hilchos Treifos, by the way, I remembered this from when I learned it. I looked it up tonight by Marav. After I finished Mona Esrei until Aleinu. That's when how long it took me to find it. Okay? So Kovtsa Bidaita. If the animal jumps, Midaita means it knew it was jumping and it jumped from the fourth story, whatever. Afili Mukun Gvoa Harbe, even if it's very high up, Afa Pishana Rom Shena Yichol Leilach. Even if afterwards you see that it came up limping and it can't walk, ain't choshen la. You don't have to worry. It's not a trefa. Trefa means an animal that's injured, so you can't, even if you shecht it, it's not kosher. Lo shnach kavtza michalon shebekosel makes a difference if it jumped from a window on the wall. Lo shnach me'aruba shebemtza gag, that makes a difference if it jumped from a skylight. Lefichach imhinicha lemailu bo motz lemate choshen la. If you left it on top and you found it on bottom, you have to be choshesh. Could you assume that it jumped? I don't think so. And the Taz says, anything that you jump midas, It means, in other words, umda nafsha tchila shlo tisrasek. It analyzed it. It looked down. It says, I can make this jump. And he jumps. And even if you see afterwards he can't walk, you don't have to assume. You could assume that he has like athlete's foot or some other reason, but it's not because of the injury of the jump. And therefore, it's kosher.
It's nice verb, so, but it's not true bass.
So, was I wanted to make this mashal. It's not mochruch. This is not a
shmuz. I don't think mochruch. I don't think it's
but
true.
But I want to say just this part, that if a person takes it upon himself that I'm going to, you know, do 10 block this week, and a person takes it upon himself, and he's putting on himself, he's doing Shteimik Vechadargum, or he's going to, whatever, do the Yeridea, or he's going to do the Shulchan Aruch. So if he takes it on himself, so then you assume if it's kuf to midaita, that stress doesn't make you crazy. But if it's your school, whatever, they're the ones putting that pressure on. I don't know about that. That stress sometimes could stress you out. You know, a smart school, a smart manal has to know that you're putting on outside stress on someone. He didn't ask for that stress. Maybe he did ask for the stress because he didn't have to go to that school and he knew that. I mean, so maybe he did choose it. But I wasn't giving the same hechsher to that. If the school could do anything they want to add on stress. But a Rebbe is a good Rebbe, a good teacher, allows the student to bring that little pressure on themselves. I said this over, but when I was in ninth grade, so I was put into the stupid math class. I don't know any way to put it, but that's what it was called. I'm not making fun of the weaker math class.
Not hacking math class.
I'm just saying, right? I was put into the stupid math class. It was called that. I don't generally call weaker class the stupid math, but my class was called the stupid math class. There was Kaufman and Planter. Mr. Kaufman taught all the brilliant people, and Mr. Planter taught all the stupid people. And I was in Mr. Planter's stupid ninth grade math class. He came in on the very first day, and he handed out an assessment. He says, I'm handing out this piece of paper. Just do whatever you want. It's not attached. I said, I need to know, what you don't know. And we all filled out the things, and he collects them. He's looking at it. Like, he started going like this. It was like really like this. He's going. He's making vases. And he says, boys, I'm looking at these assessments. You know, I don't know if you want. They told me this is the stupid math class. But I see in your papers, you guys, if you want. Now, the stupid math class only took the citywide test, not the state region, because we were too stupid to take the state region. So you took the citywide test. You know who takes the citywide test? All the stupid people. So you guys are so good. I bet you could probably even do better than those guys next door. So we were all excited. Yeah. You know what? Don't tell them. In June, we'll compare your scores with their scores. I bet you guys could do better. So we were, whatever, stupid ninth graders. And we fell for that. And we killed ourselves that year. It was algebra, you know, algebra. You know, it's like, of course I got 100 on my algebra state region. This teacher's a genius. What he did, he motivated us to do it. He asked us if we wanted to do it. We said yes. So it was kuf to be daita. We took it upon ourselves. That's the genius of a teacher, a Rebbe, who learns how to inspire the kids that they want to take it on themselves. They want to do it. And the kids want to do extra, more than extra, if they take it upon themselves. But if you just, you know, you lump it on them, that's how. That's how we had all these challenges this year with the honors class, and the extra learning, how much are we allowed to do. So we sort of made these psharas, some of it's mandatory. We left some nights that are optional, you know. But the ones that are mandatory, you also have to choose to go into the shir, but you're choosing to do that. If you don't want to choose to do that mandatory extra, then you don't have to go into that shir, go into that shir. You had all these. All summer, I was going crazy from all these chinuch shailas, what to do. I was discussing different yeshivas. Certain yeshivas they told us, yeah, they give more incentives for the ena mitzvahs. I said, why? I think you should give more incentives for the mitzvahs. Those are the ones who, I'm right. You have to give more incentive to do well on the on the nights that you make them stay, they were saying pumfa keret, these yeshivas. They were telling me they give them more incentive to participate on the nights that they don't make them stay. I said, oh, that's ridiculous. It's a b'chemistabra. Those guys, it's easy to learn extra. It's the ones when they have to stay. They're the ones, they thought I was crazy. Of course, I thought they were crazy. Of course, I'm right. I'm certainly right. But so that was the whole deal, all that. But I think that's the key. You have to get a kid to be kaftza midaita. Now that I said all that, Mendy, what you mean is not true?
I meant the fact that an animal doesn't himself, he's not, he knows he can handle it. That and you know, just a guy says his own goal doesn't mean it's a goal that he can handle.
Okay. Yes, it's possible a guy could take out a goal. As we see, most Kabbalahs that we take on, we don't end up doing. That is true. But that's not because we're not stressed. We just get stressed out.
Yeah,
it's
stressed.
So stressed than others.
Because we don't
keep
view it as a commitment.
There's Yitzhara, we get caught up and we get distracted. And it's humanity also, we get distracted. Listen, Rav Avinu had to shtup the Vayorakas Chanichav with gold and silver so they shouldn't get distracted from fighting the war against the Malachim. But his Talmidim would get distracted. People get distracted. Even from the Chumash Mitzvah, they get distracted. But that's the goal. Get someone to be motivated. That's the art. I remember I was a counselor in Muganav for 5 years. A lot of Muganav guys here. For 5 years, I was a counselor. The first 4 years, I have little recollection of a couple of kids I remember. But the fifth year, when I was a counselor, and I figured counselor. Okay, I was a counselor up to 11th grade. So I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So I was 20, almost 21 years old. I was such an amazing counselor. But for 4 years, I was very pedestrian. But that fifth year, I learned the malacha. I think when I stumbled onto this idea, where if you could motivate someone to do something, you could get them to do anything. So I don't mean else. Manipulation. I just mean like you motivate them. So I came in on the first day. Imagine all the kids in Muganav, they'll come. Okay, you meet the council the first time. I told them, just like my ninth grade math teacher, fellas, you are in for the best summer of your life. This bunk was handpicked. Handpicked. And all you guys I heard are superstars. You're great in learning, you're great in sports, you're great in menschlichkeit, great in cooperation. We have such a great time. And remember Bunk Chafalef. I had a sign already made. I hung up in the bunk, the magic of Bunk Chafalef. And they were mamish, but they could have flown from the grass where I met with them to the bunk. They could have flown there. That's how excited they were. And I set up a beis medrash in the bunk when I had bought mishnayos. I got the camping, got me mishnayos, and I set up a table in the center of the bunk, like I made a little island, and they were running back after activities because they wanted to win all the mishnayos contests, and they wanted every single kid to get on their davening clubs, and they were mamash going to become, they're going to win every single award there was, and they're going to win everyone, and they did. They won every single award possible for a bunk to win. They won.
Did you ever get?
I did nothing. I had to make one 3-minute speech. My whole thing was one 3-minute speech.
How did you ever keep up the enthusiasm?
Well, I had to be on top of it. So I made sure the Mishnayos were there, and I made sure they wrote it all down, and I made sure they submitted. I kept being in front of the line, just guys, you know, next thing. You just have to build them up, make them feel like they're doing it, that they're doing it for themselves, that they want to do it.
People and start burning out after. Don't see at least
they
results.
Didn't burn out. They were so excited. It was so pumped.
Even if they don't see results quickly or...
Well, yes, if these were 12 and a half, 13-year-olds, you can't... If they're 8-year-olds, yeah, you'd have to need more instant. You know, a little bit more instant.
If you say a monk is handpicked for sports, there's like two or three kids the monk could think.
They were. I remember some of those kids, you know. I told them. I heard they were all great. They were, you know, at most... You know, I probably didn't know there was third trips. I probably saw that they were all decent enough to have said that. I don't think I didn't know who they were. You know, He used to have 3 3-week trips. It was 9 week summer.
What age group was he doing all 5 years?
It was 12 and a half.
Were you stuck with one age group for 5 years? I'm just thinking of a practical answer.
I did go. Cause the oldest kid used to be 8th grade. And then there was a lot of jockeying to get the oldest bunk. It seems that even those days, that was considered the most chashuv. If you have the oldest kids, you're the most chashuv. It's still like that. You know, if you teach in Beis Medrash, then you're chashuv. If you teach in high school, it's chashuv. Middle school, more chashuv. It's not true. But just, that's how, in camp also, if you're in the oldest bunk, then you're like more chashuv. It's not true, that's what people say. But there was so much politics amongst my chaverim who want to teach, work with the oldest kids. So I went to the head counselor and I asked if I could, please don't put me there. Put me in the middle, you know, the sixth graders.
So
I went from the eighth graders to the sixth graders because I didn't want to deal with the politics.
So we did that for all 5 years?
No, just the last year. What was that? No, those were the oldest kids. Those were eighth graders.
Invest yourself in one age group, so that, like, let's say you're doing sixth graders, so all the little fifth graders like, whoa, I'm looking forward to that, I want to get that.
Yeah.
Mary didn't have the reset.
Yeah, but you know, like, there are certain people, I know, like Rabbi Brigida is so. I think he's got high school down pat. So I don't think for him, I think he's got more. He can teach any grade, you know. At the time, I think I was already. That's why my first year I couldn't do it. But as a fifth year counselor, I had enough experience that I think I had those grades down pat.
I had those grades.
I had it. Yeah, it wasn't the first time I did that grade, so I don't know, number one, but I had it. I nailed it. They nailed it.
Stress that isn't self-made is, like, dangerous, or...?
No, it's not as reliable. That's why if you tell the guys that I'm going to make you learn and give you, you know, 20 bot tests, and I'm going to test you on all this, it's not as reliable, you know, because...
Self-made.
Wow. You're the best... That might work, but the self-made goals are the best. A person sit down and make a goal for himself, and... That's pretty good. And then you make a goal that you forced to do. You tell someone you're gonna do it. You know, I went in Erev Pesach to my former high school comments, and I went to the Manal because no one lived in Brooklyn when I was in yeshiva in Beis Medrash. There were no Chavetz Chaim guys in Brooklyn. That's relatively new phenomena. I mean, not when I was young. So I want to learn with someone. And I want to learn with my brother who's fight with him. So I went in to say hello to my Manal, and a few days for Pesach, and I said, if you have anyone in the high school that you need someone to learn with, I'll help them out. You know, I have such a curse of tov to Rebbe you did for me, and if there's any Talmud that needs help, I'll learn with them. And he thanked me so much, and I learned with someone every day. I was a 10th grader, I was like, whatever, 22, and he got me a 14-year-old to help out. I learned with him every day on Pesach. You know, I didn't know who it was. He just set me up to learn with him. I learned with him for two Pesachs in a row when I came in. I learned with him. And I didn't see him again for like 20 years. He was in Miami once. He came to visit. And he said, are you Rabbi Mordechai Palgan? I said, yeah. He says, you may not remember me, but my name is so-and-so. He was married. He was a kid. He was a dentist. He says, I want to tell you something that, you know, I don't know if you remember, you used to learn with me. I said, yeah, I vaguely remembered. I remember the name and put it. He says, you know, you saved my life because my parents were getting divorced and it was a hard time for me and I didn't know what to do. And, you know, Rav Bash said he has a charusa for me. I said, I can't afford anyone. He says, not going to cost any money. I didn't charge anyone. So I did it, like, it forced me to learn. So, like, I tutored someone. I felt good. I didn't learn with Harusa something deep. I learned whatever. I think they were learning Avi Psachim. I did like 10 Blatt and Psachim. I forced myself to do it here. I told a kid. When I was in Spanish, I always said, I'll go to the high school room. What's good about a high school room? You can't sleep late in the morning. Busha City. I used to go to a high school room, and what are you gonna? These high school kids have to get up, and you're gonna sleep? I don't know. I was too much of a black guy to have them look at me like that. So I would always do that. And then you have to, you know, you have to have best good behavior. You have to go to sleep on time. You have to do the right things. You have to speak properly. You know, so amongst yichaberim, you know, people take more liberties. You know, but I got a high school room, Machnas. And I was speaking appropriately. One time I was in Beis Medrash, I was branching in one branch, and I remember, you're going to laugh, the first computer game came out called Pac-Man. You know what that is? Is it still around? Yeah?
Arcade.
Nintendo's office.
So I remember that one, and I never saw anything like it. So the guy put me into a room around 12 o'clock at night, and he showed me how to do it, and then he left me there, and then like 6 hours later, at 6 a.m, I was still trying to beat my last score. I was up all night. I said, oh my God, this is addicting. This is addicting. So that's the last time I ever did Pac-Man. I didn't even enjoy it, I just couldn't stop.
What,
so
you enjoyed learning
with someone? Yeah, I learned with him Gemara Rashi. He was learning
Gemara. Life wasn't deep or anything. Like,
it wasn't so. It wasn't deep. It was Gemara Rashi. That's what I'm saying.
Enjoy it.
I enjoyed it because I was helping someone. So my learning helped someone. Over Pesach, that motivated me to want to go out and learn every day. I wasn't learning it, you know, to learn Pesachim. I was doing it to help someone. That for me, I don't know if everyone's like this. That motivated me. I was able to help someone who was. Was down and needed help, and I was able to do it through learning. So I learned Pesachim with him. So it made me feel good. It made me, you know, leave my house on Chol HaMoed and on Yontif to go out and walk a few blocks in the heat or whatever, and in the rain to go learn with someone who needed help. So that, you know, my Rebbe was very happy. You know, I saw him one time and he thanked me. It was worth to me. I was able to like do something for him, help him out. So that's what motivated, but it could be, you know, some people just want to learn Pesach, and that could be a motivation also. You know, you get a chavrusa. For me, it motivated, like I felt good about myself. I was doing something, you know, that was meaningful, to use my time well. So make an impact on someone, and it did. I mean, I knew it was going to, but I just didn't track it. It was pashut that would help someone. High school kids having trouble. High school kids, when you're in high school, that's when it's like this. I know you're in Beis Medrash and you view it like it could still be like this, but it's not the same as when you're in high school. High school is like, When you're Beis Medrash, it's like, It's like different directions, but not the same extremes. Different. You're on much more solid ground, so you can still go, it's still important, but, you know, high school kid, come on, go off easily.
Because of everything that, by, like, let's say a high school kid, oh, I'm test right, you know, quickly, like, it's not profound, it's not like impacting me, like, to understand quickly, Rashi, oh, I'm good for a paper. Like,
it depends who.
You might have saved me for the test, but I can sit down with a kid.
It depends which kid. Yeah, if, you know, if a kid who you know is a Talmid comes over to you, could you help me, like, I'm really stuck here and take this test, and he's never done it before.
Yeah.
You have to have rachmanis and try to help them out.
But they just want school people a lot nowadays. Just,
okay, but this
I got a base guy. I'm lucky. My high school is connected to base. I never had it's like Google.
It's like it's careful. Like I was learning Shabbos afternoon. I wasn't feeling well Shabbos morning.
That's my fault.
I was still fighting a cold, so I was learning, a guy came over to me, high school boy came over to me, could you learn with me 5 minutes? Of course. I'm not going to say no to someone who wants to learn. Why shouldn't you do that? Why do that?
Ruby doesn't give us a violin, like, oh, let's sit down. You're and like, let's learn like a Duma Magid Mashal, like something that will connect to the league. Like, Gemara, like, a lot of the guys, they get turned off. Like, you might need to give them that sweet instead of the meat and potatoes for some people.
Yeah.
They might appreciate that more. And it's more approachable. And more.
I do.
Have you shaved muscle from your...
Huh?
Have you shaved some muscle?
I wasn't going back and forth, rabba, like the kids.
Oh, you don't know what, my Pesach?
I'm saying, like, stop. If
like, well, Pesach, how many like days in a row do you learn most of
it? What Seder should someone...
I went crazy for an hour.
What Seder, I guess,
shoot myself.
I guess it depends.
I'm saying that in front of the wrong person. But I want to learn over Yantav something, so that was about... I would have started every day with some Musar. That's a good idea.
If I was a high school guy, if I had a Beis Medrash guy, I would be like, oh, you want to learn something? Oh, it's some Gemara. No Gemara, no Rashi. Let's do something Gishmak. I don't know.
Would you do that now for an hour a day?
I would do it for like Q&A, like something chill, Pirkei Avos, like cool stuff. I was like more relaxed, like a mashal.
I'm no objection. I didn't say anything to obviate that what you're suggesting. I wasn't saying anything to contradict you.
I'm just saying there's very thing.
Yeah, I think
for,
so.
For nowadays, like especially in camp, like Mishnah, it's like I don't know, it's a different.
Right, but different you see, you have an excitement for that, so that's what you should do. If that excites you, you could give over that excitement to someone else. For sure.
Maybe it's my own.
Pirkei Avos.
Spoon feeding certain things. Also, like kids, when it comes to like Mishnah, they're just like, it's like you're filling up my mouth. Like, with a lot of these things, will they, like, I could get a lot more. I mean, it depends on the age. But if they're like little kids, they're not going to appreciate a nice Kishmaka.
I think you're right.
So it depends. It's a story that might, maybe, like a deep Ha'ara might.
I think so.
I'm not really asking a question.
No, but the answer is that yes. If that excites you, then that's what you should give over.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, that would excite me also. But I can only do so much of it. I'll tell you my side. I told it to you, but you know, 2 years ago when I went to the elementary school, my duties every year I have a different job. So a couple of years ago,
maintenance.
Huh?
Maintenance.
I didn't do that job yet.
No, that's Jerry's job.
Huh? Oh, that's called maintenance?
Whichever one.
That's how, a couple years ago, I ended up going to the elementary school for a year. But so it's so interesting. I learned so much from this. So I told him, I'm going to help. I was helping to mentor train someone to become a principal. He was going to take over being the principal. Not right now. We want to have a principal for the boys. So I was going to mentor him to becoming principal. It needed like almost full time work. So I went. I davened in the yeshiva, and around 9:30, I went over to the elementary school. I stayed there till school was out, like 4 o'clock. Then I came back, and I missed. I was already out of the high school. That was my first or second year not teaching. It was my first year not teaching in the high school. So I went to the Beis Medrash. That's when I got tight with Yax and Dovim Rimmelstein. I used to come back and learn with them. Because they were saying they can't learn Bekiyas. I used to help them. I got into the Beis Medrash through that Seder from 4:30 to 6:30. I used to go around, you know, helping guys with Bekiyas. So when I was there, I said, okay, I was never high elementary school principal. I don't know anything about elementary school. So I said, listen, you know, people are people. I'll help train. And I observed Rebbeim and teachers and try to make decisions on how to run the school and be involved. But I said, I'll do almost anything, but please don't ask anyone, no one ask me to teach a class. I can't teach elementary school. I never taught elementary school. One day, one of their Rebbeim had a parent conference. They needed him there. Parents were coming in to speak to the principal and to the Rebbe and to the teachers. They need someone to cover the class. And they had people cover it except for 15 minutes. I said, I can't teach a class. They said, I have a worksheet. I gave them a worksheet. They're just doing the worksheet, that 15 minutes. Just need an adult in the class. Okay, yeah, adult in the class. I could be an adult in the class. I can go into the class. Yeah, I'll be an adult in the class. So I went to the class. And sure enough, Murphy's Law, after like 3 minutes, they finished the worksheet. They're handing it to me. What do we do now? 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 So I'm stuck 12 minutes. So I said, okay, I think back. When's the last time I dealt with like a 9-year-old. I said, oh yeah, when I was on camp. Like 20, 30 years ago when I was in camp, I was like a division, head junior division 1 year. Onik Shabbos, I'll tell a story, okay? I still remember the stories of my old days. I used to be a good storyteller, but it's an art. You have to be into it. I tell a story, but in a schmooze, I tell a story in a minute. For kids, you tell a story, my brother could tell a story for an hour. So I sort of lost the art. I said, I'll tell one of these stories for 12 minutes. I got this. So I got to tell the story, like, after a minute, the story's gone. I'm done. So I think of another story. God, tell me another story. Another story. I finished that story in also a minute. I couldn't schlep it out. I don't know what happened. So I have 10 minutes left. What am I going to do? So I said to him, I was walking around the school the other day, and I saw one teacher playing Simon Says. So I said, oh, Simon Says. That's good. It's a good game. The teacher was doing it for like 20 minutes. I only need 10 minutes. So, okay. Simon Says, go like this. Simon Says, go like this. Go like this. So two kids are out. Simon Says, go like this. Simon, go like this. Go like this. Oh, God. Simon Says, go like this. Simon, go like this. Go like this. And the kids are looking at me. I couldn't think of anything else to do. So after like a minute, I was finished. Simon Says, how did that teacher do it for 20 minutes? So I, what am I going to do? So I said, I have a lot of time left. I have an idea. There are like 12 kids in the room. No, there are like 18 kids in the room. I'll have the kids take turns being Simon. Ah, that's great. Give each kid 1 minute. I got it. Okay, fine. I tell a good kid. I said, okay, who wants to be Simon? Okay, you. Come here. You to be Simon. Okay, good. You be Simon now. So he goes, okay, Simon Says, everybody run to recess right now. And the whole class runs out of the room, and they all run. And I couldn't stop them. They were gone. And then I'm standing there literally like this. And then Rabbi Schiff, the Rebbe, walks, opens the door, and says, Rebbe, where are my kids? They left. I was playing Simon Says. I let one of the kids do Simon, and they all ran out. So, you know, sometimes you do have to know what you're doing. So that was the joke in the school for the rest of the year. Don't ask Rabbi Balgan to cover your class. He really meant it. He doesn't know what he's doing. He cannot teach a third grade class.
Is there any pro homework? Because people, I guess.
Nah.
No?
Save this. This needs a couple of bad.
I'm not really so pro homework. I know there are certain things that are worthy of chazara. No, it's a steer to everything I said. The kids, give the kids something to do. So a kid would love to do a project that they're excited about. Figure out a way to get them excited to do the work, and you don't have to call it homework. Homework means I'm forcing you to do it. Okay, you want to tell me that the Chaz of the Gemara, they have to do the math, otherwise you can't do it. But ideally, would be if no parent minds if the kid goes and takes out a book and reads when they go to sleep by themselves, or looks at something, or wants to fix something. But the homework, I don't know, should be avoided. Let the kids come home and have some relaxing time. In school all day, we'll have to do work at night. I don't understand that. I never did any homework.
In terms of relax, for sure the kid needs it, but doesn't Rabbi think it's the same inyan that you had? You have Gevura, like Gemara. It needs to be like, I have to sit there, I have to do it. Like, famous myself, like, I don't know who it was, big Rebbe that's like, I have to learn, but I don't want to. Well, I'm not going to learn. Like, so from that myself, like, we see, like this builds up the kid that even though I don't want to do it, I have to, so I'm going to push, like, taxes. It's not like, yeah, I'm excited to do my bills and my dad.
This guy wakes up. This guy wakes up in the middle of the night and he's thirsty. It's an old Musa joke. And he's thirsty, so he gets up. Says, I'm going to get a drink. You know what? You're such a Baal Taiva. No, don't give in to your Taivas. He goes back, lays down and says, you are such an utzel. You don't even have the strength to go get a drink. You lazy, good for nothing. Sits up. I'm going to get a drink. You Baal Taiva. Even in the middle of the night, you have to go and give in to your Taivas. Ah, you're right. What came over me? Goes, lie down. You lazy. And he torments himself. So does every single minute of his day have to be tormented? That, oh, he needs gevura. He can't just that relax right now because where's your gevura?
Sorry.
He has gevura all day long. He has to get up at 6 in the morning to get ready for school.
Yes,
and he gets home at 5 o'clock. Oh, yeah, that's the end of the story. The end of the story is he comes up with pshara. He walks up, he walks to the kitchen, pours himself a glass of water, and he pours it out and goes back to sleep. So, you know, they need downtime also. That doesn't mean there aren't certain things he needs to practice, it's true. But generally speaking, homework.
So must be a fault in that area.
You know, listen, there are a lot of things we do that we have to do. We don't know the way to do it. We give homework. We give tests. All the things that make no sense, we do. We give grades. That makes no sense either. You know.
Everything should be that in Lishma.
Ideally, when everything be Lishma.
Yeshivas have that in high school.
What grades?
I'm not sure.
Grades?
More darker places.
What?
Like the fahar. Like it's a verbal thing. If you know it, you know it. I'll call on you if you get embarrassed or whatever it is. But it's not like oh, we're gonna have like, you know, the academic coaches are coming to the schools and they're gonna like, it's like hawks, like sometimes.
They're so used to it.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't want
there are other ways to it, okay.
You read that story as a joke?
What?
Of course. So I'm pretty sure I heard Ray Sharkin say it as a joke, like he's making fun of it. And then I thought of a few minutes later say the story for real. And I'm like, I thought it was a joke. He's like, no, it's a real story. I'm like,
oh, okay. It's a real story.
No, but I've heard him also say it's a joke, so I don't know.
The way I heard it was that it's a story about Rabbi Salzman.
Yeah, that's the, I heard it
in
the second
way. I
don't
know if it's true or not, but they don't say it about
it. I've heard it as a joke also, I don't know.
It sounds
like a joke to me.
If Rabbi Sholo did it, that was real, but we do it as a joke. I was trying to make a point because Nathan saying that, where's the Gvura? But I say he has so much time for Gvura. He's waking up, this little kid's waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't get home till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, earliest. Okay, he's going to sleep at 7:30. 7:30, the kid's going to sleep. The average elementary school kid, 7:30. So he has 2.5 hours of his day where he's not having to be busy with school. 2.5 hours. He has to eat supper. He has to take a bath or a shower. So figure those two things take an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. So he's got 90 minutes. So in those 90 minutes, he also has to spend a half hour doing homework. Ay, Shem Yirachem. And that's really hard. Okay.